A couple of words of introduction about myself, for those who don't know me, and a word about why this subject of should the worlds of the media and the church mix, why it's a subject that's really dear to my heart, one I'm passionate about. Almost all of my working life has been spent working in the media. In fact, from a very young age, it seemed that this was where I was heading. This is a picture of me presenting a radio show on a radio station that broadcast just to my house. My dad put a radio studio in my room and rigged speakers around the house. I don't know what the quality was like. My mum said that she enjoyed every single show. She was biased, and it's worth saying that I never won any awards for those early shows. I got a wider audience when I started working at a young age in hospital radio. It was, to be fair, a captive audience, and that job didn't really last long. The honest truth is that I was fired, one of the few people, I think, to be fired from hospital radio. Thankfully, we haven't got time this lunchtime to go through the gory details of why, but suffice to say, from a very young age, I realised the dangers of not treating every microphone as if it was a live microphone. Thankfully, that mistake didn't count against me, and after university, I joined the BBC, working first at Radio 2 and then in television and later in live event broadcasting, and I currently work for BBC Sport. But to be honest, the thing that really makes me qualified to speak on this subject of should the church and the media ever mix is that I'm a TV addict. In fact, I consume a huge amount of radio and internet content, and I'm also a Christian. About a year ago, I had the chance to work as a staff member here at All Souls, as well as continuing some work at the BBC. And my work with some others is looking at how we can be a service to those who work close to this building. And this lunch hour service is one of the things that we do. The workers in the West End is what I'm focused on here at All Souls. When I told friends about my decision to work less at the BBC and join the staff of All Souls, there was quite a lot of shock and a fair bit of concern. Here are some of the comments. The church and the media are such separate worlds. How can you survive working in both? The media is such a godless place. How can you continue working for a church and working in a godless environment? And aren't you forcing yourself into a kind of working version of schizophrenia? Well, at the heart of those attitudes are the view that these two different buildings represent two very different and separate attitudes towards the world. Two very different worldviews, one, if you like, sacred, and one, if you like, secular. And we can sometimes be forgiven for thinking that these two worlds represent one Monday to Saturday, the real world that you and I know, And that's the world that the media portrays, and the church really looks after the slightly out of touch, non-real world of sort of religion on a Sunday. And we might even think that one building next door represents the reality of the world as we know it, and this building represents a kind of non-reality. And so our question might be, should they and can they mix? Can they have much to do with each other? It's a question that's more relevant to this part of London than probably any piece of land on the entire earth. You see, if you walk out of this building and you look right and look up, you realise that the BBC is building a huge new headquarters next door. It'll be one of the largest live broadcasting centres in the world. But should these two worldviews, represented by these two buildings, ever mix? Or should they exist in a kind of uneasy sense of separation? As that building's completed, are we going to be uneasy partners? Well, let's start with the world represented by next door. And let's start with the world that is at the heart of every TV, radio program, all internet content. And what a world. Blue planet, mind-blowing variety found in the oceans. The amazing array of food programs on television. If you're like me, you need to make sure you've eaten before you sit down to watch one of those food programs. The amazing music that we see there, the BBC Proms, or later with Jules Holland, huge variety of sport content. Whoopi Goldberg was speaking on Radio 4 last week on Desert Island Discs, and she said that when she heard a particular singer sing, she realized that there must be a greater being who designed the world. And many of us will know that music can have an effect on us. As the media presents us with some of the amazing sounds and sights of this world, many of us will have felt in different ways that there must be something or someone who created it all. At the start of the understanding of the Christian faith is the belief that God created the whole world, not certain parts of it or just small elements of it. And you don't have to read very far in the Bible to see the picture of this amazing designed creation. The media do an amazing job of representing the incredible diversity and splendor of the world. As a Christian, I in fact feel that often the media does a much better job of celebrating the magnificence of creation than the church does. Day by day, week after week, the amazing nature of creation and human beings is displayed. Some of my favorite programs celebrate that world, the diversity, the ingenuity, a dragon's den, human ingenuity, creativity, business, idea after idea after idea, human creativity. For me, any program with Rick Stein, it doesn't matter which part of the world he's in, but anything, Rick Stein is so passionate about food in its full diversity. Perhaps like me, you're a fan of How to Look Good Naked with Gok Kwan. The amazing diversity, and he celebrates the amazing diversity of human beings and human bodies. And for me on radio, I'm a big country music fan, and the diversity of country music with Bob Harris week after week is something I enjoy. But if you know me well, you also know that one of the programs that is my favorite, is a never miss, is The Apprentice. And what an episode last week if you saw it, or last night if you saw it. Well, here we get onto some of the less wonderful parts of the world. You see, you don't get very far into an episode of The Apprentice, and this was certainly true last night, before you get into human conflict. Pride and ego seem to be damaged so easily, and the program is full of the painful results of that. And it makes amazing television. But it reminds us of some of the harder parts of living in this world. Parts that, if we're honest, that you and I are confronted by on a daily basis. But The Apprentice isn't the only example on the media, is it, of some of the more problematic realities of the world presented. Crime Watch. Nazis, a warning from history. Neighbours from hell. The media is breathtakingly honest about the reality of the world that we live in. The reality of the world that you and I know. Perhaps we see that most clearly in the news. You may have been aware that this week the Evening Standard here in London relaunched. New design, new columnists. And the relaunch campaign focused on the word sorry. The newspaper was apologising for lots of things. But one of them was sorry for being negative. They committed to feature more good news stories and less stories that were full of doom and gloom. Well, that might be right. But the news that the media presents us with the reality of the world. And that has to include the negative parts. Wonder if you saw recently the 10-year anniversary on television of the Columbine shootings in the United States. The appalling massacre of 12 students and one of their teachers. One news report from a UK-based correspondent will stay with me for the whole of my life. It was one of the most haunting pieces of television for me. And they ended with a final piece to camera, and this clearly numbed correspondent said that they'd spent the whole day with residents, families, police officers, and they were all asking the same question, and it was the question that no one had an answer to. Why? When the painful, broken aspects of the world are displayed, be it a terrorist incident, a tragic accident, the abuse of a child, our response is so often, why, how? Why do so many innocent people suffer? How can human beings sink so low to do such things? Why is there no justice? It's these questions that the media, if we're honest, really doesn't have an answer for. And I guess also, if we're honest, we probably don't expect it to have an answer. We expect it to provide the facts, comments, opinion, truth, to show the world, if you like, as it is, warts and all. But the why and the how questions, well, they might be exactly the kind of questions that we expect the Christian faith to have an answer to, this building to have an answer to. And you'll find it does. Christians are shocked and appalled by the kind of events that break across our news on the breaking news channels. But we're not left without an answer to the questions why and how. The Christian view of the world includes the reality of a world that's broken. Christians believe the world portrayed in the media is right. It's bang on. When the hurting world is portrayed, far from shattering the Christian view of the world, it's all contributing evidence to the reality, the heart of the Christian faith. The presence of sin. Christians believe that the real world is a world where sin exists. Christians believe it has a terrible effect on the world and on human lives. And God knows all about the effect of sin on the real world. This is a God who knows about the reality of a broken world. It's a God who experienced it firsthand. At Christmas, this building's transformed with an enormous floor-to-ceiling Christmas tree with lights. And if you haven't ever seen it, come back and see it. It's an amazing transformation. At Christmas, we remember Jesus Christ, who is God himself, coming down to earth to live with us and engage with sin. C.S. Lewis, the writer of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, when speaking of the Christmas story, said, God has landed on this enemy-occupied world in human form. The person of Jesus Christ sits right at the heart of the Christian faith. The clue is in the title. One of the astonishing claims that Jesus made about himself was that the answers to the questions we ask as the brokenness of the world is presented to us, the astonishing claim is that he says the answers can be found in him. Jesus was born into and lived amongst the reality of the world. The reality of the world that the news channels present with us night after night. Jesus experienced the reality of the world filled with anger, hatred, pain, jealousy, greed, regret. As we're presented with the reality of that world, the Christian God knows about it. He experienced it firsthand. You see, Jesus wasn't left speechless or left without an answer to the question why, how. Jesus would have been very at home with the stories that are on the front of our tabloid newspapers as you walk past the newsagent, and there on a Sunday morning are all the stories of human broken lives. Now, Jesus would have been very at home with the tabloid newspapers. Just listen to what he says when he comes across a version of people tutting at a sort of front page story of a woman who's had an affair. 2,000 years ago, but it will be there any Sunday morning on the front of a newspaper. Well, here's what Jesus said as he's presented with that scene. If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. The greed of the world didn't leave Jesus shocked and speechless. When faced with the human desires to accumulate, to gather wealth and possessions, to chase after success, his answer was, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Now, it's unlikely, isn't it, that an economics correspondent of a major media organization will ever speak that diagnosis into our current financial crisis. My journey over the last 10 years since becoming a Christian has been to see more and more that the life and example, the words, the wisdom, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ make sense of the world in its awesomeness and in its awfulness. So back to our question, should the media and the church ever mix? Well, I hope you've seen that my answer to that question is yes. I hope you've seen that the media presents the reality of the world that you and I know, that you and I experience. The splendor of creation, food, nature, music, dancing, sport, but also the terrible reality, violence, hatred, tragedy. This is a worldview that Christianity acknowledges and agrees with. Now, All Souls, we thank God for being next door to the BBC. We love the wonderful work they and the media do in bringing this reality to us. Two buildings committed to engaging with the reality of the world. The good parts and the bad parts. The media, represented by the building next door, shows and tells us all about that real world. This building is unashamed, unabashed, in presenting answers to the questions we have as that world is presented to us. As I said, a Christian church, this building believes that the answers to the questions we ask of the world and the media presented to us are found in the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's why a picture of Jesus Christ is the first thing that strikes all visitors as they walk into the building. Well, it's usually, and indeed this lunchtime, is hidden behind a projector screen. Well, with the wonders of PowerPoint, we can overcome that. This building is committed to passionately helping people from all sorts of backgrounds understand the basics of the Christian faith. That's what this building longs to do. In a number of ways, we offer people the chance to do that. We run regular courses at lunchtime, in the evenings, over food, for people to go through the basics of Christianity. A course started last night. We've got a course running at lunchtime. It's called Christianity Explored, and there's details outside. So grab that. It's just getting on those basics is something you'd be interested to do. We meet every Thursday at lunchtime in a space of half an hour to have a talk, to have a look at the Bible together. And on a Sunday, 2,500 people will come through the church for one of our three services, 9:30, 11:30, 6:30. Well, as I close, remember, this is your building and a place for you to find out more about what Christians believe. Why Jesus at the center of our activity. Our hope really is you'll be a regular visitor. We certainly appreciate you being here today.